Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think you've got guys around here that are tired of losing around here, and the guys that want to win, I think that's what excites me most. We guys want to win around here. I think, you know, the past 2 or 3 years around here and the past year for me, I can only speak for myself, but I think there's guys around here that are tired of losing and want to win. So, thank you guys.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Hour number two here. It's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. We're coming to you live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original, and along with Boston, we're broadcasting live up in Maine, Portland, Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the islands. And if you're not in any of those places, you can always stream the show or listen online. Just download WEEI. First, download the Odyssey app, and then get over to WEEI, and go ahead and bookmark the Christian Arcan Show. You can listen to all of our podcast interviews, all the segments, all that's there for you. That's also good for WEEI Afternoons, Jones and Keith, the Greg Hill Show, and all of our fantastic weekend programming here at the station. So what you just heard there, that was Drake May, and Drake May is tired of losing. Tired of losing. It's only here that 1 year, but there's a lot of losing. And the year before that, a lot more losing. And there's some guys in this team who have been here a few years, and they just don't want to lose anymore. And I think that's great. I don't want them to lose anymore either. So far, camp, it sounds like, has been a little uneven on both sides of the ball. It sounds like Drake May is settling into being more of a leader here in his second year, which I think is a great development. And I hope is one that he continues to evolve and get better in that regard, and then, of course, the technical regards of playing the quarterback position. All of that is very, very important. But I think the most important thing here, and I wasn't expecting to say this today, I think the most important thing that we're seeing here isn't necessarily the development of Drake May. I think that's been overshadowed a bit by the new Mike Vrabel culture. I think that the Mike Vrabel culture has now superseded Drake May. Last year was really all about Drake May. That's all that season really was about, period. And the fact that Jerod Mayo should never have gotten the job. I mean, those two things I think can both be true. But that last season, the main thing that we were all talking about wasn't how many games is this team going to win. It was more along the lines of, are they going to have the number one overall pick or not? And how's Drake May developing? Is this kid legit? Can this kid play in the NFL? And if not, what do you do? And if so, how good can he be? And what kind of career is he going to have here? How far are we going to bring him along? What are we going to surround him with? All that other stuff. I think that that has taken a back seat. I think the main story right now, and this is based off of the things that I'm reading, based off of him lighting up Ben Volen the other day in that media availability, which was pretty funny. It's a couple days old, but yeah, him asking if Ben was in a coma during when he answered the question the first time. And then I think it was Roach the next day who asked the question again, which was good. Good job by Roach there. But yeah, tough one there for Volen. But I think that this is really what we're talking about now. I think this is really what people are noticing. I think that Drake May continuing to get better is a great story and certainly one that we're all going to be paying close attention to. But I think we can also agree that if Gerard Mayo was still the coach here and Drake May was continuing to evolve and get better, we wouldn't really feel all that great about it. We'd feel like, okay, May is getting better and maybe you got something there, but we'll never know on this team. We'll never know in this environment. We'll never know with this head coach and this sort of culture in the locker room and everything else that's going on, which the more we find out about it, the more ridiculous it all seems with Mayo last year, which, by the way, I'm not even necessarily going to blame Mayo completely for. I think this whole thing was just a total botch job by the Crafts, if we're being honest. But I don't want to relitigate that. The results speak for themselves. And we're talking about this year. And this year, they have a guy who was ready to come in here and instill a culture that, at the very least, he had seen some success with. In Tennessee, he had seen some success with this type of culture, his personality, running the show, being, you know, this big sort of in-your-face kind of guy. And eventually that wore thin in Tennessee. The Strunk family, they were done with him. You know, it wasn't getting much ROI. The team had fallen off, and Mike Vrabel didn't really have any answers for him when that began to happen. He had disagreements with the front office. He had disagreements with the scouts. He just sort of fell out of favor, and that was the end of that. And the Titans have not gotten really any better since he left. They were the number one. They picked first in the draft last year. So, I mean, you know, it's not like he left and magically they suddenly got better. So it's not one of those cases. But it is a case where when he got fired, the team had started to bottom out. And I think that with the 1 year off and, you know, whatever he was doing there in Cleveland, that no-show job he had over there in Cleveland, whatever that may have taught him or not taught him, I think that coming into this situation now, he's coming into a situation where he already has a reputation that precedes him a little bit. He already has more of a cushion, I'd say, with ownership, which to a fault, I would also say, on ownership's part, going from one ex-linebacker to another, I think was a little, you know, in retrospect, like, okay, I guess we can see if this one works. But you also have to remember that this is a guy with a resume, and a resume that does have some pretty impressive seasons on it. And more than that, when you're trying to reach young players, when you're trying to put an offense together made of young players, when you're trying to inspire a defense that has a second-year defensive back who appears to be, or a third-year defensive back who appears to be someone that is a potential superstar in the league here, and you've added all these high-priced free agents at other positions on your defense and you're doing all that, you need to have someone in there with a strong voice. And Vrabel does have that. And I think that what you're seeing now, what you're seeing in camp and now here at the podium and sort of everything else is the Mike Vrabel era and all that that can entail. And I think that for the Crafts, for Vrabel himself, for people like Elliott Wolf, and certainly for someone like Drake May, it's really going to come down to how much everyone buys into the Mike Vrabel experience. And so far, it seems like people are. So far, I have no reason to think that people are turned off by Vrabel and the way he runs practices or the way that he talks to people or his methods or any of that other stuff. I don't get the sense that there's been a lot of pushback so far to the Mike Vrabel regime. And it's early on, so it'd be strange if that started happening this quickly. But you'll remember last year, Matthew Judon and plenty of other players had no problem spitting right in Gerard Mayo's face. And that was noticeable. Here you have a rookie coach who was a former player, who was a contemporary of Matthew Judon almost, all right? I think they might have overlapped a year or two in the league. I don't know if they maybe I'm wrong about that, but either way, you know, two guys, right? Two players. And there was no respect there. There wasn't a whole lot of respect for Gerard Mayo and the way that he did the job and sort of learned on the job and everything else. Mike Vrabel, at the very least, can command some of that respect that I think had Mayo searching for answers and had the Crafts really on their heels. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing here. Yes, Joe?
I was going to say, Mayo retired in 15. Judon was a rookie in 16.
So they just missed each other.
But close enough, I'd say.
Right. I mean, basically contemporaries. You know, played in the same decade. And there was no respect there at all. Judon was on the sideline, you know, saying whatever he wanted, making a big spectacle of himself.
And he had no issue doing it.
No, none at all. And maybe he would have done the same thing this year with Mike Vrabel. Kind of doubt it, but maybe he would have. I just don't think that Mike Vrabel would have waited 2 weeks to trade him. You know, I think that may have been one of those, is that what you think, huh? Well, you can leave. And maybe we'll see some of that. Maybe we'll see Vrabel have to get tough with some people. There's going to be some interesting position battles here over the course of this camp where young players are going to be on the chopping block next to veterans who are also on the chopping block, and he's going to have to decide which way he wants to go with that. A team on the rebuild. Do you go with the young player? Do you go with the veteran? You know, like these type of things. And I'm interested in seeing how he handles all that. Today, it seemed like was a good day for the receivers. You had Diggs, Kayshon Booty making big catches. Kyle Williams, who had a big day yesterday, wasn't so great today. Ramondre Stevenson was out there working in the passing game a lot today. And I think that when, you know, you talk about this time in the camp, there's not a whole lot to get to, as Tommy Curran told the guys today. You can't really make any decisions until pads go on. But it seems like the Patriots were working on the quick game today. Mac Jones' favorite thing, the quick game. Reading from Kari Thompson in Boston.com. He said, Thursday was a day for the smaller, quicker guys. Pop Douglas made a leaping catch on a throw from Josh Dobbs early in practice. Efton Chisholm grabbed his first catch of camp. Running back Travion Henderson made plays out of the backfield and in the screen game. Quiet day for the tight ends. Mac Hollins on the sideline in a red hoodie. Steph Diggs and Kayshon Booty made catches in the first part of team drills. Williams dropped a short pass from May today. And Ramondre Stevenson got lots of work with screens and short passes, including one where the receivers went deep. May went to Stevenson in the middle of the field while the defenders chased the deep routes. I don't think that it's any coincidence that you're seeing those players out on the field right now working on their chemistry with Drake May. And the reason is because they have a ton of receivers on this roster. They have a ton of them. It's a long list. It's kind of an embarrassing long list. Because you'd think with this many wide receivers, you'd have more than one decent one. You know, it's just, there's a long, long list. Steph Diggs, Booty, Douglas, Hollins, Kyle Williams, Kendrick Bourne, Javon Baker, Jalen Polk, Efton Chisholm. That is nine right there. Nine.
And I looked up the roster real quick. It's a total of 13, so add four more to that.
Add four more, and I'm sure those last four are not really in the mix.
Yeah, they're no-namers. And then,
on the other hand, there's some no-namers that I just gave you right there who may not make the team. So.
Right. And also the tight ends, you know, pass catchers there as well.
Right. Yeah, and that's still Henry, Hooper's still around, Jaheim Bell.
Six of them on the roster I'm looking at.
A lot of them, okay. And some running backs that obviously, you know, Antonio Gibson's still there. He was your third down back last year. Travion Henderson, second round pick, you know. I mean, you got some investment in the draft anyway in this offense. But to have nine wide receivers and only one that you're sure guaranteed is going to be like an impact player this year. I think there's no doubt that Pop Douglas makes the team. And Mac Hollins makes the team. But if that's it, if it's Diggs, Douglas, and Hollins, those are your top three. I guess throw Booty in there too, because Booty's got to play, right? And Kyle Williams, you just drafted, you're not going to cut him. So that's probably how it's going to end up. Diggs, Douglas, Booty, Hollins, and Williams. That's five. Does Bourne make six? Does Polk make six? He was a second-round pick last year. I mean, it's kind of crazy how tough of a call this is going to be, because you're not really talking about a very good room. It's like, what do you do?
You know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like what the Red Sox are dealing with, where, you know, not necessarily all the guys are good, but there's a surplus in a certain position.
Right.
With the Sox, they have outfielders. They need to either trade at some
point. Their outfielders are all good.
Right. Well, that's why I prefaced that beforehand.
Right.
Someone has to be cut or be traded in the Sox scenario. So same scenario with the Sox and Pats.
Yeah, certainly looks that way. Christian Barmore out there today. Jalen Polk has not participated yet. It's been two practices. Polk has not participated. He passed his physical, but has been experiencing minor muscle tightness. Well, that's, you know, not nickel's worth of advice here, Jalen Polk, but maybe get out there, okay? There's a lot of receivers there, and they had them all on the field today doing little, you know, little munchkin stuff. which is really the – I think he scored one touchdown last year, poked it, and it was on a little cross over the middle, I think, if I recall correctly. Or some little, you know, red zone play.
They were very easy catches for Polk.
Right.
If there were maybe two or three of them.
Yeah. Javon Baker got a couple of shots down the field. Dropped one. The other one wasn't really close to him. Dobbs tried to bomb one out to Baker, but couldn't really get the ball near him. That's kind of too bad. I bet those guys are missing missing a certain backup quarterback these days, a certain back-flipping backup quarterback. Who, by the way, did you hear him? Did you hear what Joe Milton said?
I didn't hear what he said, but I know one of his first passes was way at, like, a receiver caught it, but he was well out of bounds.
Oh, well, okay.
So it wasn't that accurate.
I don't know about all that. I don't know what he's looked like so far in camp, but he said that having Dak Prescott as a leader was really great and that he's been in another room and that it's way better here in Dallas. So, I don't know. Take that however you want to take it.
He's still in the honeymoon phase, I guess.
It sounds like. It sounds like maybe that's where we are. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. There's your quick look at day two of training camp here for your New England Patriots. We'll have some more thoughts on that as well. Your phone number is 617-779-7937. We'll also hear from some guys who spoke today, like Morgan Moses and Jabril Peppers, and we'll analyze what they had to say, and also hear from Phil Perry and Tom E. Curran, who had some thoughts on Drake May. Not to mention, at 7:30, we'll be joined by the Boston Herald's Doug Kide. That's all coming up right after Joe Braverman gets you caught up on what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Diggs being here, just his presence itself, does wonders, you know what I'm saying, for all of us. And, like, he causes attention without even, you know what I'm saying, just his body of work, which is great. Efton Chisholm, a young guy trying to work his way up, just having that energy in the building, in the room, is dope. Pop, just being who he is, you know, dynamic. Great at one-on-one, and that's where Josh is powerful. You know, he could punch and play us all, and I can't wait to see it come about. You know, we're getting glimpses of it, but we're still working through it, but that's what's exciting about it. He knows our strengths. He knows where to put us, and that's going to have us all be successful.
That was Kendrick Bourne, Kung Fu Kenny Bourne, talking about the effect of Steph Diggs, as well as the Mike Vrabel experience here. It's the Christian Arcan Show. I'm Christian Arcan. Nice to have you with us here tonight. We'll be joined in about 8 minutes by the great Doug Kide of the Boston Herald. Looking forward to getting his take here in these first couple of days of camp. And what was a interesting offseason, especially for the guy that Bourne was just talking about there, Steph Diggs. Because it seemed as though, as risky of a move as it was in the first place to go out and pursue Diggs this offseason, when there were other, I believe that the three free agent wide receivers that were available after all the trades and initial signings got made, it was the trio of Diggs, Keenan Allen, and Cooper, right? Amari Cooper? I think he was the third one?
I think you have two of them, Cooper and Diggs. I'm not sure about Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen was definitely one of them, so I know that's the three then. So that's who was out there. And the Patriots could have pursued any one of the three. I personally was thinking maybe Keenan Allen would be the guy. I thought he had an okay year with the Bears. Cooper, I was sort of meh. I was meh on him. I thought he'd make a bigger impact with Buffalo, and he went there. He didn't really. And Diggs, I was just worried about because along with the devastating injury for a wide receiver his age, he'd been such a pain in the ass. I mean, he was a total pain in the ass in Buffalo. Seemed like he was a bit of a pain in the ass in Houston, at least to the point where they didn't want to see him through that injury and see if he could come back and recover from it. And I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people shared this sentiment, but I certainly did, where you have a rookie quarterback, now a second-year quarterback, who's already shown some small signs of maybe being a little sensitive, if the Joe Milton thing taught us anything. Yes, Joe?
No, I agree.
Oh, I thought you were about to say
I'm just agreeing with you.
Okay. If the Joe Milton thing taught us anything, it's that Drake Mays may be a little sensey, just a little bit. I don't know to what degree, and maybe I'm totally missing the
not a Mac Jones level sensitive.
No, that's very sensitive. But then again, we don't really know. I mean, we're not really sure. But Steph Diggs, adding Steph Diggs to that stew, it seemed like was a risky maneuver, no matter what. Because Steph Diggs is the kind of guy who can create a problem where there isn't one. And you don't need to look any further than his years in Buffalo, where he was constantly, and this was years ago, so maybe he's chilled out a little bit. I can give someone the benefit of that doubt, you know, that they've evolved as a person or they've, you know, matured or whatever it is you think. But it's hard to get past the fact that Steph Diggs, who was getting an obscene amount of targets from Josh Allen, an obscene amount of targets and catches, and was still all the time, just would not stop bitching about not getting the ball. And this was at a time where it's not like the Buffalo offense was loaded or anything. They had Diggs. They had Gabe Davis, who really only ever put up any stats because Diggs was over on the other side. And, you know, some other receivers here and there. No one that ever really was a capable running mate to Diggs, so I understand why he wanted the ball, but he got the ball. Allen fed him the ball all the time. He was constantly feeding him the ball. And it just did. He just was insatiable. Like, he couldn't get it enough. I'm talking about passes thrown to him, not something else, which he may also be insatiable for. But either way, what I'm talking about here is a potential hazard on the highway that is the development and career of Drake May. And to hear that he is having such a positive impact on these other wide receivers, that warms my heart, boy. I'll tell you, it really does, because that is something I was absolutely concerned about. That is something that I was very worried about. I thought the Steph Diggs experience could end up really blowing up in this team's face. And so far, I mean, listen, there was the thing on the boat with the pink stuff, and fine. That was in the offseason. That was in his own personal time. He seemed unusually comfortable being photographed holding a large bag of oddly colored drugs. I'll admit that that's allegedly. I'll admit that that was strange. It was strange how he didn't say, "Hey, man, get away with that camera. Come on, buddy. Like, what are you doing? Turn that camera off. We're on a boat with a big bag of pink stuff. Get out of my face." He was like posing with it. He was like, "Hey," like Vanna White. It was like the showcase showdown. "And over here we have a pink bag of drugs. Hey.
It's all yours if the price is right."
You know, closest without going over, and put your bids in now. That was, sure. I mean, listen, if I'm going to make a big deal out of that, then I'm going to make a big deal out of what Kendrick Bourne just said. And I did make a big deal out of the thing on the boat. That was ridiculous. He looked like an idiot. But now he looks like a guy who immediately is having a very positive impact on this team on and also off the field. His presence, they're saying, is making a big difference. The fact that he recovered very quickly from an injury that was supposed to keep him out a lot longer than this, and that he's out there moving just as well as he did pre-injury and just as well as basically everybody else in that wide receiver room, if not considerably better because he's Steph Diggs and who are they, that all is very, very promising news to me. And to hear Bourne say it, I mean, listen, Kendrick Bourne has a very pleasant disposition. You know, he is one guy that is going to have a positive spin on everything, except that one year with Mac Jones where he didn't like the play calling. But you know what? Let me just put it this way.
He wasn't alone.
Judge and Patricia broke everyone. I mean, everyone's brain, like all these happy guys. Now, Judge and Patricia, they unlocked like the darkness in all of those players. But Kendrick Bourne, largely, is a very happy, upbeat, positive guy. And hearing him say those things, you can maybe make the case, yeah, he's probably exaggerating it a little bit to make things seem better than they are. But even if he is, even if he's exaggerating a little bit, it's still pretty good. That's still pretty good news. That is still a pretty good report on the impact that is being had so far of Steph Diggs in that room by someone who is competing with him for a job right now. And I don't think Kendrick Bourne's really competing for a job with Steph Diggs, but with Steph Diggs there, that makes Kendrick Bourne's status on this team certainly no guarantee. So he is going to be fighting for a job. You know, he's going to be fighting with those other receivers. And the fact that Diggs is there doesn't do him any favors in terms of securing that paycheck. So, again, that's another reason why I think hearing him say those things is pretty genuine and pretty earnest. And I'll be honest with you, if Drake May is feeling that same sort of way about Diggs and that the impression that he's leaving on this offense, and not just the wide receivers, but the entire offense, well, you got something there. And for more on that, joining us here on the Christian Arcan Show from the Boston Herald is the great Doug Kide, who has been at camp and has some observations, and let's hear him right now. Doug Kide, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well, Christian. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's nice to hear from you. Nice to talk with you, as always. Let's go ahead and start with the guy I was just talking about, Steph Diggs, who already seems to be, if you listen to these other wide receivers and guys on this offense, seems to already be making a very positive impression on his new team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that really starts with how quickly he was able to rehab that ACL injury. I mean, you think back last year, Kendrick Bourne was in a similar situation, and he wasn't able to return until October. Meanwhile, it's July 24th here, and Stephon Diggs is 100% recovered, doing everything that the team's doing on offense, and looking like he has the potential to be a number one wide receiver on this team. So I think he's doing all the right things on the field, off the field, and you know, he's been a guy who has had a little bit of controversy during his NFL career, but I think for the large part of the last 10 years, this is what you kind of expect from Stephon Diggs. So might wind up, the Patriots wound up with a bargain here in signing Diggs.
When they signed him, there was the three guys that were available because they sort of missed out on the trade market with Metcalf and, you know, Kupp and all those guys, Doug. And I think we argued about it at some point about who they should be out there trying to trade for. But when it was between Diggs, Keenan Allen and Amari Cooper were the main three names there. I think Diggs was considered the more risky of the three just based on the injury and sort of the attitude. And, you know, Buffalo, he was causing all those problems. And Houston didn't seem to have any trouble letting them go to free agency after the injury. But the way it looks now, I mean, it's hard to, yeah, you're right. It's hard to question that. These other wide receivers in the room, I mean, we're hearing them say great things about him. Are you seeing sort of an improve? Is he making everyone else better? I know it's early to maybe say something like that, but are you getting that sense?
Yeah, it might be a little too early to say that. But, I mean, DeMar Douglas is out there making plays. Kyle Williams was making plays yesterday. Kayshon Booty has been catching the ball. So overall, it's been a positive last 2 days for the Patriots wide receivers, which is something that you might not have said in the spring or last year or the year before. And even going back to your other point, if you were talking about Stephon Diggs versus Chris Godwin at the start of free agency, I think that you would have more concerns about Stephon Diggs. And that's not to say that Diggs will wind up being a better signing than Chris Godwin was, but the Patriots are willing to give Chris Godwin a ton of money. And meanwhile, Godwin's now starting training camp on the PUP list, not out there on the practice field. And I don't think anyone expected Stephon Diggs to be out there at this point. So I've said it before, but it's going to be really interesting to track those guys and see who's going to be more worthy of that 3-year, $60-ish million contract at the end of this year, at the end of next year, because both guys were coming off serious injuries, and Diggs is the first one back.
There are 13 wide receivers currently on this roster. Obviously, they're going to pare that down considerably. Who do you see fighting to stay on, and who do you think misses the cut?
It's a really good question right now. So the guys that I would have on there would be Kendrick Bourne, Kayshon Booty, Stephon Diggs, Demario Douglas, Matt Collins, and Kyle Williams.
Okay.
That would be my six.
And that's it.
If there's a seventh, which there might be, they've kept seventh in the past, mm-hmm. the top options would be Javon Baker, Efton Chisholm, and Jalen Polk. But those would be the three guys I would leave off right now. And I will say that there's still time, obviously. Kendrick Bourne, he's getting up there in age, came off the knee injury last year, didn't quite look like himself. I'm not sure if he's a lock for the roster. So there still could be time for someone like Chisholm or Polk or Baker to make it over a guy like Kendrick Bourne. But yeah, right now those would be my six. And the fact that Jalen Polk isn't out there right now, it isn't helping his case for sure. I mean, he passed his physical, didn't wind up on the PUP list or the NFI list. And then what I was told was that he suffered a soft tissue injury since the physicals, and that's why he's not out there at practice. So he's missed two practices already. He's got to rush to get back on the field because he has to prove to Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels, Todd Downing, all of these guys who don't know him, have never watched him play, right, and had nothing to do with drafting him, that he's worthy of a roster spot.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Josh McDaniels. You've covered a lot of training camps with Josh McDaniels, offenses with Mac Jones, with Tom Brady, and now here with Mike Vrabel and Drake May. Have you noticed sort of an evolution? Maybe, again, it's very early to possibly notice these things, but you've seen McDaniels work enough. What are your impressions of him so far in his second stint now? I guess his third stint now with the Patriots.
Yeah, it's obviously very early to tell, but I think that even just his willingness to have an offensive staff that he has never worked with before is somewhat of an evolution, that he's willing to try new things. I think that we will see them trying new things as the summer goes along, as the season goes along. I think that's why they brought in Todd Downing and Thomas Brown and all these guys that Josh McDaniels had never worked with before. So there's still a lot of time to see exactly what the offense is going to look like. It has been a lot of faith stuff so far for Drake May, which is, I think, what you would expect out of a Josh McDaniels offense. But I'm sure we will be seeing more elements introduced here. And I don't know. I mean, I know that people were some people were very up on the McDaniels hiring. A lot of people were down on it. At this point, like, if you're going to have Mike Vrabel as your head coach and you're not going to have that, you know, next new offensive mind, I really do think that McDaniels is like kind of a best case scenario to have as the OC, because he's got so much experience. You know he's a good play caller. You know he can run an offense, and there's really no flight risk there for him.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. Mike Vrabel, also a new hire here, obviously, and one that I think so far a lot of the reporting from you and from other people has really pointed to a major shift in culture, his personality on full display when he was lighting up Volan the other day at the podium there. It does seem as though there's, I don't want to say more of an authoritative structure going on, but certainly more than last year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. I think it bridges that gap between Bill Belichick and Gerard Mayo and definitely pushes it much more over to the Bill Belichick side, where I think one important aspect or one important element is that it feels like players know they can joke around with Vrabel. Jabril Peppers was even saying it today. I asked him, like, oh, you know, Vrabel's out there with a number five pin. Is he, like, trying to take your job? And he was saying, like, oh, I've been telling him to take that off. He's not tough enough. And then Vrabel shot back at him that he needs to watch some highlights in the Patriots Hall of Fame because Vrabel's in there. So I think that players know they can joke around with him, but also know that like, he's a guy who isn't going to take any guff and will be an authoritative head coach while also being a player's coach.
Yeah, and that's kind of a tough needle to thread there because, you know, he was trying to do that in Tennessee too, and it looked like it was working out great for him for the first couple of years there, Doug. And then, you know, he started butting up against the front office, and then he had all those problems with the Strunks and sort of everything else. And, you know, you just sort of wonder if he's learned more from that experience. He's talked about it a little bit, but, you know, it is hard. I mean, I feel like Mayo was trying to do that too. He wanted to be a player's coach, but he also wanted to be an authority figure. It's just hard to find that balance. Why do you think Vrabel is going to be able to do that?
I mean, he just has to learn his lesson from Tennessee. And I think that he said all the right things, and obviously right now he's doing all the right things. Time will tell, but it does seem like he was willing to reflect over that last year when he was in Cleveland, just kind of doing, you know, as an assistant, reflect on some of the things that he might not have done perfectly in Tennessee and maybe change that now. And I do think that the relationship with the Crafts and how far they go back can certainly help things here.
We're talking with Doug Keid of the Boston Herald. Doug, your impressions on the second camp of Drake May, the first one where he's considered the de facto starter. Of course, last year he was taking reps behind Jacoby Brissett. This year seems like, according to reports, he's taken on much more of a leadership stance, I would say, than he has in previous, certainly in last year.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's still learning how to be a leader to some degree because – you know, it was kind of similar at UNC where he was playing behind Sam Howell and took over that job. Last year, you know, playing behind Jacoby Brissett, took over that job. So he's still very young, still only 22 years old, but he's another guy who's doing all the right things, saying all the right things. I think organizing the trip to Charlotte was really smart. People on the team, like players, DeMario Douglas was saying that he's an uplifting presence in the locker room that, you know, even when guys screw up and are down, Drake May is there to be a positive element in the locker room. He's also still, like, teaching guys and giving them little pointers in practice, which I think is important, too. He was doing that to Kyle Williams yesterday. So I think that that's really important. And then just from an on-field perspective, not a lot of balls hitting the ground right now, which is obviously what you want out of a quarterback. Not a lot of risks being taken either. A lot of short passes, screens, checkdowns, but he did have some downfield throws on Wednesday that he hit on. So far, about as good as what you could expect out of Drake May. And I do expect him to get more and more comfortable in that Josh McDaniels offense because we all know how complex it is. I do think that having a young quarterback will help Josh McDaniels maybe limit the playbook a little bit more. He won't go all in like he did when he had a 19-year veteran like Tom Brady as his quarterback. So I think that element of having to scale it back could help some of the other younger players on the roster as well.
And we've seen him do that. I mean, the last two quarterbacks before Vegas, obviously, but, you know, Cam Newton and Mac Jones, he had to have very limited playbooks for both of those guys. And, you know, one of them was a veteran who couldn't throw anymore, but the other one was a rookie, young player who, you know, we saw maybe wasn't able to go out and replicate that rookie year. But this isn't something that McDaniels is doing for the first time. He's got experience in this.
No, absolutely. And like you're saying, like, things went better with the Patriots, with Cam Newton and Mac Jones than they did with the Raiders. And obviously that 2020 season wasn't great with Cam Newton, but a lot of that was because he was dealing with a quarterback who couldn't throw the ball at that point in his career. So it was going to be tough sledding one way or the other. And I will also say that, like, obviously there's been a lot of younger wide receivers and veteran wide receivers who have struggled to learn the Josh McDaniels offense. But over those last few years, you had guys like Jacoby Myers learning the offense. You had guys like Kendrick Bourne learning the offense. So it's not as if, like, every single guy was struggling there at the end.
Yeah, you hope there's more Myers and less Ocho Cincos. That is the voice of Doug Keid of the Boston Herald. Doug, great stuff as always. I look forward to talking with you this year.
Definitely. Good talking to you, Christian.
All right. That is Doug Keid, Boston Herald. You can check out his stuff in the Herald, and you can find them on Twitter as well. At Doug, is there an underscore? Nope, just one word, Doug Keid, K-Y-E-D. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. It's Christian Arcan. There's some news about how you may be viewing football next year. Not just Patriots games, but a little show I like to call NFL Red Zone, my favorite show. a show that I watch all the time, a show that I actually heard some people hating on recently. I forget who it was. I think it was like Feidelberg at Barstool. Somebody was like, I don't like Red Zone anymore. It jumps around too much. And it's like, right, yeah, that's right. That's why I like it. I like it when there's 5 to 8 different boxes up on the screen there, and I'm watching them all at the same time. That's what I like about it. It's weird. Anything can get old as time goes on. But this latest news here from Red Zone actually has me distressed. We'll get to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Christian Arcan Show here at WEEI. If you recognize this music, well, you've come to the right place, my friends. This is the music from NFL Red Zone, which if you've been living under a rock or just came out of a coma, is a little show on Sundays that begins right when the first game kicks off, first games kick off. And they, by not having commercials, jump from game to game, emphasizing games where the team's in the red zone. And then when it's all over, when all the games are over, they do a long montage of every touchdown that was scored in the game that day. In all the games that day. Which is my favorite part of, it's the one thing, and I'm a little old to even still be getting these, but you know, the Sunday scaries, you know what is the perfect antidote for that? NFL Red Zone touchdown montage.
One of God's greatest creations.
It really is. You know, I believe the Sunday scary, that's a real thing. Absolutely, it's a real thing. But the one way to really negate it is with that Sunday montage, with that touchdown montage. And that touchdown montage may be costing you a lot more money than it did once before. As according to Andrew Marchand at The Athletic, ESPN and the NFL are inside the 5-yard line. That's their that's a nice little metaphor there. In their ongoing negotiations, which would see ESPN acquire a significant portion of NFL media. The details of the potential deal that was first reported on last January have yet to be finalized. Marchand notes that it could see ESPN acquire properties including NFL Network, Red Zone Channel, and the 7 regular season NFL games that currently air on NFL Network. Let's see, awful announcing rights. The plenty can still change. Nothing has been finalized, but Marchand added the talks have advanced to the point that the league has informed its owners that they may need to vote on a deal early next month, which Sports Business Journal also reported last week. At this point, it's unclear how much money or equity would be exchanged, although recent reports have valued NFL media at around $2 billion, which, can I just say, doesn't seem like a lot for NFL media. $2 billion seems like, I know that's ridiculous to say this, but $2 billion doesn't seem like that much for all of NFL media. It really doesn't. Marchand reports that the potential payday will be enormous. As for ESPN, the acquisition of high-profile assets such as NFL Network, Red Zone Channel, and regular season games would arm the Disney property with more NFL-related inventory with the debut of its DTC streaming service. What's DTC? Direct-to-consumer? Doesn't it already have a DTC streaming service? Isn't that what Disney Plus is? How's Disney Plus not direct-to-consumer?
Well, it could be the streaming services that they're talking about specifically. Like, if they get Red Zone, they could put it on ESPN Plus.
Right. Oh, maybe the NFL. It's going to be an NFL DTC service, I guess. I don't know. An official launch date is yet to be revealed, but we know it will cost $29.99 per month, and we will merely be referred to as ESPN. Very creative. They should talk to some of our friends here at WEEI who named the show WEEI Afternoon Show. As that is right in the same lane.
It's as original as the Christian Arcan Show.
The Christian Arcan Show. At least there's a name on that one. The Washington football team, another one. WEEI Afternoon Show and ESPN, which I think there already is an ESPN, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, $29.99 a month for the ESPN football package, which, listen, I mean, what am I going to say? I'm not going to pay for it? Of course I am. I'll pay for Red Zone, probably whatever form it comes in, unless it becomes so prohibitively expensive that I cannot afford it. All right? And the NFL knows that. And the NFL and ESPN know that there's a lot of people out there just like me who are starting to realize that there's just too much streaming going on. But there's nothing we're going to really do about it. There's nothing I'm going to do about it. What, am I going to take a stand and say, that's it, I'm not buying Red Zone? No, I'm going to buy Red Zone.
That's where they get everybody with this Red Zone, because they know we're going to buy it.
They got us by the short and curlies with the Red Zone. And they know that, absolutely. But it does just seem as though ESPN has really gone all in on... Once again, I mean, I remember when they spent the big, big contracts on all those college football rights. And everyone said, what are you doing? You're just trying to acquire all of college football? You can't do that. And they didn't get all of it. I mean, there's still, you know, plenty of games on CBS and ABC and all these other places. But ESPN went way over the top. They said, no, we need to really corner the market here with college football. And then they decided they wanted to make their programming all about their big-name personalities. And so they cut big checks for Stephen A. Smith and for Pat McAfee and, you know, Mad Dog Russo and all these people. And it's not to say I think it was the wrong move. I don't. I think it was a smart move to do that. But now, after doing that and paying out tremendous sums of money to bring in those guys, ESPN, who... I just feel like is always talking about how it's such a struggle to meet their margins in every quarter. It's always something. And yeah, it's just everyone's going to other places for all their sports. And now here's an extra $2 billion lying around that we're going to buy up all the NFL stuff. And it's like,
no!
Listen, I'm not going to say it's a bad move, Mad Dog. I don't think it's a bad move. Everybody should be trying to get as much NFL content as they possibly can. Sponsored NFL content that you know is going to get a return on investment. You know it will. That's one thing about the NFL. It's a sure thing. Absolutely it is. And it's such a sure thing that you almost wonder why they're doing this in the first place. What's the NFL hard up for money right now? The NFL feels like they're not really doing a good enough job of distributing their own product with their own media network and all this other stuff. I feel like we've been building to this too, haven't we? Didn't Good Morning NFL just move to the new place? Didn't they just start, the NFL media suddenly realize, oh, wow, we don't have any money for all these shows we want to do. And we're going to have to start shaking all this stuff up. Now they're basically selling out to ESPN. That's odd. That's an odd thing going on right now. Because the NFL is still printing money. There's no slowing down the NFL train. It's just it's not happening. All of these other sports leagues are seeing various, you know, forms of ups and downs here. The NFL, up. Just constantly going up.
And they have to have a network. Obviously, every league has a network. But I think none has been more prominent than NFL Network, and as you said, you know, they just keep making profits. As long as they keep our beloved Scott Hansen, then we're good.
I mean, I wouldn't count on it. If ESPN acquires Red Zone, you think they're just going to keep all the people, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't think so. I don't think McAfee's going to do it, but I feel like they're gonna do something there. They know a lot of people are going to be watching Red Zone. They're going to put one of their people on. I don't know. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's going to be, you know, it would be funny. It wouldn't be funny because I'd like to see Hanson stay there, but it'd be funny if they brought out, like, A.J. Green, who never talks on the Pat McAfee show, and they make him the Red Zone guy. Not A.J. Green. A.J. Hawk. A.J. Hawk. A.J. Green was a wide receiver. But you know what I mean? Like, someone like that. Just someone kind of lurking in the background.
Just one of those watch parties.
Or they bring in A.J. Hawk and he just doesn't talk. He just sits there and they just cut to another
AJ,
game.
AJ, how about that interception?
Just nothing. Just doesn't give you anything. They just cut to another game. That'd be funny. But yeah, ESPN potentially acquiring. And this isn't definitive yet, but it seems like they are just about to cross the goal line here in this acquisition of all this NFL media, which I don't know. I don't feel great about it, but this is the world we live in, so, you know. Might as well. If you're going to be a monopoly, you might as well be a big one. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the Boston Red Sox, a week away from the trade deadline. 1 week until this deadline. Maybe one of the more anticipated deadlines for the Red Sox in the last 5 years. Maybe more than that. Maybe considerably more than that. We'll discuss it with you, and we'll take a look at some of the predictions being made around the country, around ESPN, CBS Sports, etc., of what these Red Sox may realistically be trying to do with this deadline and how they can do it. We'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.